When you download an app or update your software, do you read those fine print licensing agreements? Few people, including federal employees, do, and the Office of Management and Budget knows that. It says basically those agreements don't apply for government purchases. Instead, new regulations call for a standard clause in nearly every contract. In our Legal Loop procurement attorney, Joe Petrillo joins us to break down the new provision. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Emily.
All right, Joe, I'm going to ask you to translate legalese into plain English. What is this new provision, this new regulation?
Well, the problem comes out of an indemnity clause that you'll commonly find in terms of use agreements and in end-user license agreements. The indemnity clause basically says that if your activities cause the operator or software license owner to software owner to be sued, you have to then pay for whatever costs or damages result from that, including lawyers' fees, etc. So to give you an example, if someone posts something defamatory on a social media site like Facebook or Twitter, and the wronged party sues, including the Facebook or Twitter, and they have to defend that suit and maybe pay damages, the person making that post has to compensate them for that, has to pay all their damages and all their costs.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense when you're just talking about it in the general public. Has this really been an issue in the government, though?
Not yet, but the Justice Department has made it an issue. The problem they see is that these indemnities, and there's a fair amount of law behind their position, violate the Anti-Deficiency Act. That act says that a government employee, government official, can only commit those funds that Congress has appropriated and can't go beyond the appropriations that Congress has made. Since the indemnity provision is an open-ended liability, it's considered to violate those Anti-Deficiency Act.
Okay, so put into other words, basically by saying yes, you agree to something in one of those click-to-accept agreements, you are in essence writing a blank check.
In essence, you are, and that's where the federal problem comes. Actually, the problem with a government employee doing that click to accept or even signing a contract that contains an end user license agreement that nobody bothers to read is basically an authority problem. There are two authority problems. One, does the person making the commitment have the authority to bind the government? And two, have they gone beyond what their authority is? The first problem, I think, exists for a lot of government officials because they're not contracting officers. But where the floodgates have opened here has been that a lot of government employees now have purchase cards, and so they are authorized to make purchases up to the amount of their purchase cards. So in essence, we've added millions of new contracting officers to the system. The second authority problem is, even a contracting officer can't do something that's forbidden by a published regulation, and that's what this is. This is a published regulation in the Federal Register and the Code of Federal Regulations, and it says that any attempt to enter into these open-ended indemnities is illegal and invalid and unenforceable against the government.
Okay. So, and to get a sense of how widely this click to accept or whatever you want to call it is used, it's mostly having to do with the software or apps, as we mentioned. Is it also found in the government world in other sorts of common situations where people might be using their government charge cards?
Well, not usually. And the wrinkle here is that, there's when commercial software or commercial websites, et cetera, are used, they all have commercial terms and conditions. And so that's why we're running into this collision between government policy and commercial practice. And what the government's doing here is they're staking out their position. They're saying, well, here's a published regulation. You should be aware that we're not going to accept these open-ended indemnities. And so, you know, don't come after us for them if there is something that happens and you want to recover.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo, a procurement attorney with his own firm, Petrillo and Powell. So this has been in place for a few months now. What's happened since it was enacted?
Well, as far as I know, nothing. But looking down the road, at some point, someone could, you know, run into some damages, try to collect them from the government, and not be able to. And either that or this could become more highly publicized. When that happens, companies have some tough choices to make. One is that they can just accept the risk and decide to, that a government customer is more important to have, even if they're running a risk of some damages down the road from these activities.
And it's presumably a lower risk, right, than the general public?
Well, presumably. Although, you know, there's international operation here. I mean, what if someone from the State Department makes a post criticizing Russian moves in the Ukraine and Vladimir Putin decides to sue in a Russian court? I mean, I'm making up a wild hypothetical, and maybe it won't go anywhere, but the fact that there is international reach for these makes everything much more complicated. Secondly, you've got a situation here where companies may decide that the risk is not acceptable, and therefore they will close their operations to government employees, or to government employees acting for the government, or to the U.S. government itself. And that would be pretty harmful in a lot of ways. But that hasn't happened yet.
Was this sort of a sleeper issue? Nobody saw it coming? Is that why there were no sort of comments and no changes to the regulations?
I think basically right. I think most of these posts don't involve damages or liability. So at that point it's merely a hypothetical issue, and hopefully it will remain so. But there's no telling what's going to happen, and we lawyers get paid to think up things that might happen in the future that are bad. So that's the sort of planning we're used to doing.
And what does it mean for federal employees and who might be using, say, Facebook as part of their work, you know, a popular social networking, if they're a public affairs official, things like that? Are they going to have to perhaps look at other routes to get their message across that are companies that would agree to this standard change in the regulations?
Well, no one's turned the tap off, starting with the interim regulation in June and now the final one. It was issued in December. So they don't need to change their operations. But, if you post something that might lead to liability, you have to understand that the government's going to take the position that they're not going to pay the provider or the social media site for any damages. Whoever has been wronged by this, if they do collect damages, probably won't be able to collect them against the U.S. government because of sovereign immunity. I guess that leaves the government employee, and the question is whether or not they can be sued as an individual. Maybe some interesting questions of liability there, but that's beyond the scope of what I can discuss today.
Sure. And does this apply to contracts already in existence or only new ones?
Well, theoretically, it only applies to new contracts. These procurement regulations don't act retroactively. But again, there is some case law that suggests that even without the regulation, the government might not be liable for these type of open-ended indemnities.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement lawyer with the law firm Petrillo and Powell. And Joe, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.